Growing up, I drank the Kool-Aid of my parents and community's beliefs. I made that belief system more important than my own needs and happiness. Looking back, I can't fault anyone for that, not even quote-unquote God. I now have clarity in decisions and choices I make. I'm fully engaged in finding joy in my life, in my own way, without the influence and construct of others. This is an uplifting discussion from there to now. Hello, everyone. This is Heather Monge. Welcome, Sean Donovan, to the group.
Don't walk over.
He is the producer of this, and he is orchestrating the behind the scenes, and he's also going to be speaking on the podcast with me. You're so multi-talented, besides spelling.
Yeah, spelling's not a strong point. College professor, can't spell. That's just how it goes.
I mean, I could technically be a literature professor. Did you know that?
No? Really? How?
Because I have a degree in it.
What kind of degree?
Literature.
I know. What kind of degree?
You know, really extensive ones.
A bachelor's? Master's?
Mm-hmm.
A doctor?
I'm a doctor in lots of things.
No, I didn't say I'm playing nurse.
Don't encourage me, Sean. Anyhow. We are here today to talk about marriage.
What brings us together today?
So I was telling Sean that I thought it would be enlightening to hear a male perspective, because we did talk about the fairy tale from a female perspective. But then I thought, you know, why are people getting married? And what is the purpose of marriage? And I feel
insurance.
Yeah.
Just insurance.
Benefits.
Yeah, benefits.
Life insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you can do that without marriage.
Yeah, yeah. PEHP. That's what I need.
Involve a trust. So I said, and I suspect we might have conflicting ideas. And you said, why is that? I'm like, because you're married and I'm not. So I've been single for 12 years.
Just because I can do something and you can't.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, that was kind of a low blow.
Kind of. Maybe not.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I've been single, divorced for 12 years, and I've had a variety of relationships. Thank you. Oh, it was such a wonderful.
Oh no, it's hard to get divorced. It's harder to get divorced than it is to get married.
Exactly, and that's why after I got divorced, I'm like, what the fuck? Why would I ever do this again?
Exactly.
Because it is so freaking hard to get divorced, but it is worth it. I had a conversation with someone at a restaurant that is in the industry that I'm in, and she was saying how everyone's naysaying divorce and just stay married because it's really much easier to stay married. And I absolutely disagree, because you are tied to someone, an energy, a person, and belief systems that greatly affect you. And what if it just isn't in alignment with you anymore? What purpose does this serve you to stay married to someone?
Social pressure, family pressure, church pressure, every kind of pressure.
Yeah.
Insurance, societal.
Children.
Yeah.
Money.
Gotta do it for the kids.
Really, I think the ultimate thing is money.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you're most likely in a better off financial situation in a marriage with both partners working. Most likely.
Yeah, but then.
Well, if I'm working and she's working and what do they say? The average mortgage should be 25% of your take-home pay. So that now that ends up being like 12% of your take-home pay for your average mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have all that extra money left to do other things with.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically.
Okay. So is that why you got married the second time?
Utilitarian?
Money?
Totally.
Combined
she makes
income.
A good bed. She can't cook with crap. No, I'm kidding. No, I wanted to be with somebody. I wanted to have a life together, but I also wanted to live a life together, do things, grow a household, you know, have the outdoor kitchenette thingy that I want so we can hang out and have guests over, have a fireplace and stuff like that. So part of it was a economic decision to be with somebody who I want to spend time with that can also financially contribute to what I want in the way of a lifestyle.
But what if you don't want to spend time with them long term?
Well, then.
I mean, you think you do at the time,
you get married. You get married with that idea in mind.
Yeah, but generally, does that happen?
Well, after a while, you're like, I don't want to be here anymore, and you move on, and that.
But then you're married, and you have to get divorced.
Yeah.
And then go through all of that ridiculousness again.
So what are you getting at?
Why did you get married?
Because I'd liked being around her, and we had fun together, and we can do things that make us happy.
Okay. So let's just backtrack just a little bit more.
Okay.
So when we first met and I was telling you about my podcast and how this started and the title of it, we ended up in a conversation for about an hour about how—
You just wouldn't shut up.
I think it was you that did most of the talking.
I was polite.
And then you had a really bizarre picture of a cat in the background too was distracting
me. I'm a listener. What'd you say?
I only heard about 50% of what you said because I was looking at the cat. We talked about marriage and your background and my background, and I thought, who better to have on here who has somewhat of a similar driving force to get married the first time in some respects. So would you like to share that story?
Yes, because I was home from my Mormon mission, and I wanted to find my wife, so I moved to Zion. I left California and came to Zion because that's where all the Mormon girls are.
What part of Zion? Are we talking about the state of Utah?
I moved to Cedar City to go to school.
Oh.
But there was I hate to admit this, but yeah, part of the reason I wanted to come here was to find a Mormon girl from Utah to marry.
Because Mormon girls from Utah are better?
No, just because I didn't find too many Mormon girls in the Bay Area. That
I bet you there was a really cool shit ton of girls in the Bay Area.
I was too stupid to see stuff, and I should have just stayed home. Anyway, so after a couple failed relationships, I met the woman who became my first wife, and I think it was she's a return missionary. She's a good card-carrying member of the church, and her dad's a bishop, and she has an education, and she can speak a couple languages, and she's cute, and she's a great kisser. And we laughed.
I'm so glad you at least kissed her before you got married. I know a lot of people who didn't kiss each other until they got married. Can you believe that?
So we had this, but it was funny, even while dating, tons of red flags, ignored them all.
Would you like to share some of those?
Yeah, some of them. Let's see. Number one, she dumped me because I didn't have a temple recommend. That was one thing. She was mad that she couldn't date and marry Joseph Smith and or Jesus and or her father because they were the pillars of male spirituality.
Righteousness.
She told me that she prayed whether she should date me or a direct descendant of Joseph Smith. And so I won out on that one. I don't know.
Oh, man.
All I have is silver plates, I guess.
I feel kind of sorry for you a little bit.
But I was also coming off of a real big smack in the face relationship. And she was somebody who wanted to spend time with me. Mm. And that has a lot of power.
It does.
You know, when somebody likes you, then you like them most of the time.
Yeah, they're like, oh my gosh, they're showing me attention.
I'll like you too. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. So I didn't mind that. So anyway, dated 8 months. 3-week engagement, got married, and then moved her immediately to Washington State. Our wedding, I think about 6 hours into the wedding night, I mean, not even the wedding night, I'll say this, 6 hours after we said I do, I was like, maybe this wasn't the wisest idea. So I knew right off the bat, I'm like, this is a mistake. No consummation of the marriage for about 3 weeks. Trying different things that were met with very negative results. She just was not into it. Her idea of romance was you start kissing by the fire, or you start kissing, then the camera pans to the fire. And then in the morning, the windows open and doves fly in, and there you are holding your partner. And no concept of the physicality of
no one talked to her about how to have sex.
No, nope. It just happens. Yeah, so there's a lack of information there. And of course, if I wanted to share any information, well, where'd you hear that from? How do you know that? Did you learn that at Sunday school?
Lame.
My mom didn't tell me that.
She didn't consider you an authority of anything?
No, she was trying to save me. Mm. Because she did the same thing with her second husband. He was an excommunicated Mormon, and she's like, I'll marry you and bring you back. And so they stayed married for 10 years, and he got rebaptized and then re-excommunicated, and then she's like, all right, I guess I'll leave. So she's like got this whole savior complex. I need to save the guys I date.
But she's still LDS.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Did she leave the church?
There's been plenty of good guys that she should have dated. Like quality, these like the atypical Mormon return missionary, fantastic guys that wanted to date her. But she wanted a bad guy. if she can turn good.
I mean, honestly, a lot of girls kind of desire that. They're like, ooh, bad guy, that's kind of sexy.
Yeah, but once they are bad, it's like, why do you do that? It's
exactly.
Like, this is what I am. This is what you wanted.
Exactly. I think that's part of the fairy tale we talked about last week, which felt like yesterday. Well, I got married while I was at BYU. Yeah.
You got your MRS degree. Congratulations.
Seriously. Aww. I was so grateful for it.
How long was the courtship from hi, my name is to I will?
Honestly, 6 months. So really atypical.
Wow.
So atypical. I know. Right? 6 months without having sex. And we were both virgins.
You guys were kissing and making out, though.
Oh, yeah.
Were you soaking?
No.
Were you doing the bed?
I had to think about that. Okay, I've heard all these terms. No.
Okay, you didn't hear about the armpit thing, did you?
I did.
Okay,
yes,
yeah.
I have lots of dirty friends.
Gotcha. Well, you know,
I'm just going to blame them and not me. I'm not dirty at all.
Well, if they're dirty, they should take a bath. I don't know what you're saying.
When I met him, it seemed like it was the perfect situation. He actually joined the church. He wasn't even LDS and going to BYU. Right?
You converted a bad boy.
Yeah, but this is me. I was like, dude, don't join the church for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, don't do that. Like, I want you to have a legitimate testimony if you really think that's for you. And
he loved. He did it for you.
He might have.
Yeah.
Even though he told him not to.
He did, because he felt like the outside pressure. Mom and dad would be impressed. Your parents would be impressed.
Well, no, his parents were Catholic.
His
and he thought
he
was going to be struck down by lightning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were very devout Catholics. So he joined the church, and then it was a beautiful baptism. I think 300 people showed up, and there was like some beautiful singing pieces. 300.
What?
We're at BYU campus.
Oh,
and everyone
that's right.
found out that.
Because he's like the one guy that's not Mormon at
exactly,
BYU.
Exactly. And he's joining the church, and everyone's like, oh, you know, and there actually was singing like that too at his baptism. And then I
want to get baptized and put dry ice in my pockets when I go in the water.
What a really cool idea.
Oh, I have these great ideas for like Halloween pranks at church baptismal fonts, but I don't have keys anymore to the building.
Damn you.
Yeah, pretty much. Go on.
Well, I was driving down University Avenue in Provo thinking about very logically, very methodically. So this guy is really nice. My parents like him. He seems to want to get into a decent career. He joined the church. We've had some decent time together. You know, it seems like we're compatible.
All the boxes checked off. He's a good person. We can hang out. We can procreate. Our children will be okay. No webbed feet. Fantastic.
Yes. And so I was thinking, yeah, this makes sense. Yeah, I can definitely marry him. Yeah, I think so, for sure. And then I heard so clearly, but he's slow. It was just like this voice, voiceover to my thought.
Really? How did it sound?
But he's slow.
Oh, it wasn't, but he's slow.
No.
Okay.
And I thought,
Jesus told you this guy's...
Well, maybe at the time, if I was Mormon, you know, when I was Mormon, I thought, that's the Holy Ghost talking to me, right? That's how I would have equated that.
Whereas this was...
I just feel like that was complete divine intervention. Like, don't fucking marry him. But here's me, 21 years old, or actually not even quite 21, thinking, oh, I can definitely tolerate that. That is not a big deal to me. That is not a deal breaker. I can do that. Yeah, I can handle that. No, that is the ultimate reason why we ended up getting divorced, because his synapses fire much, much, much slower than mine in every freaking way you can think of. And it drove me absolutely mad. Like, we couldn't even have a conversation because he would just stare at me blankly.
Sorry. Never mind.
Anyhow,
bad joke. I was going to go somewhere. I decided not to.
Oh, maybe that's a good thing.
Probably.
So anyhow, 5 years into our marriage, I wanted to get divorced, but my family convinced me that what kind of example would I be to my little sister? What would the prophet say? And my grandma said, but he's such a nice guy. And then what can you justify when you're so steeped and entrenched in this marriage type paradigm?
Easy. You wait a couple decades to figure it out.
Right. So getting divorced finally two kids later, 9 years later, was the most painful thing in my experience. And I now, 12 years after that, have really come to the belief that what purpose do I need to get married for? What is the purpose of marriage? I am self-sufficient.
You need to grow. You need like 12 to 15 kids. Half of them will be survive childbearing years. to work on the farm.
Yeah, but
that's what you need.
But there's no farms anymore.
A Staley Farm. They need people over there for the corn maze.
I think they do have a large family, actually.
Well, I mean, supposedly large families bring people joy. I want to have all these kids and be happy with all these kids.
Does it really bring joy?
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on who you're talking to and how honest are people when they say, yes, I'm happy with all 12 of my kids, including my wife, the clown car, who just keeps spitting them out like clowns.
Yeah, joyfully.
And she can't jump on a trampoline
anymore.
And
righteously. Yeah. I mean, consequences of birthing children out of your vagina.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, because you have a vagina. Oh, that's a whole nother conversation.
So, you know, but for me, it was, okay, yeah, same thing. Get married, go to the temple, da-da-da, wife, kids, family, mortgage, house, put them through school, raise them up right, hopefully have enough for retirement, enjoy the rest of my life, and then hopefully we'll see who dies first at 95.
And never be alone. I think that's the other thing.
Well, I have two bathrooms in my house. I use them both. There's a lot of alone time.
You dick. Just kidding. I'm sure your wife would like to have one to herself.
Well, she does. I use the other one. I just shut the door. You okay in there? I'm like, yeah. I'm just on TikTok for like 3 hours. Just need some quiet time.
Maybe you just need your own bedroom.
We've talked about that, actually.
Yeah. Why do people share the same bed every day and night?
It's like, don't touch me. We have a king-size bed. I'm like, there's enough space here.
Yeah. Don't people need their own beds and rooms? I would think so. This is another thing I think
is bizarre. She's all lovey-dovey until I get all gassy. And then she's like, well, why didn't you warn me? I said, I could have slept in the other room.
Too much information, Sean, and I need to be a little bit more serious now. You're not answering my questions.
Okay, what was your question?
Why do people share a bed and share a bedroom every day and every night? Don't you think they want space in their own, own alone time? Like you're just saying you pretty much dominate
the bathroom.
Because
that's what we think we're supposed to do.
Exactly. But who told us this?
Everybody, society, our religion, family, our government, the way we've grown up. This is just how we've been living this way for last
What's
X
on
number,
TV?
Hundreds of years. You know, we marry one person, we have a bunch of kids, we live in the same house. I mean, at least we're not having the kids
forever.
Sleep in the same bed anymore. That, for the most part, has been disbanded. Then again, you get older, and grandma and grandpa, what are they? They're in separate beds, separate bedrooms.
I haven't observed that.
Yeah, I see it more and more. My mom and dad are doing that. But they claim it's for other reasons because, you know, they're not working, so they're up and down throughout the night for whatever reasons that they want. So he's up early, she's up late, vice versa.
I can kind of see that, actually.
But
that
the whole,
sense.
All right, it's time for bed. Bye, roommate.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much.
Yeah. Well, I find, too, that people that get married are really quite codependent with each other as well. Like, really codependent with each other. They basically don't do anything
depends
outside
on the
of
marriage.
Each other.
I think it depends. It depends on how, you know, some are, some aren't. I can't say that's part of marriage. I think there's plenty of codependent people that need to have somebody in their lives. So, yeah, but I think there's people that
do you think that's
genuinely
healthy?
Genuinely like being with the person that they're with. Is it healthy?
Do you think codependency is healthy?
I mean, it depends on who's on the other side.
But what does
serious.
That say about yourself?
Well, no, if you're codependent with somebody, then you'd hope that you would be with somebody who is going to positively influence that codependency.
Right, but let's just start with codependency in the first place. Why does one person need codependency?
Because we don't want to be alone. In the broad scheme of things, we don't want to be alone. There's times we want to be alone, but when it's like when it's 6 months in and you're laying in bed and it's a weekend and the house is quiet and there's nobody there and the phone's not ringing and nothing's texting and all you are is left with your mind and your thoughts, there's a lot of people that go, I wish I had somebody here with me.
Because they don't want to be alone in their mind and their thoughts.
They don't want to be alone. You know, or you don't want to be alone doing the things. Things with other people is fun. You know, go on a cruise by yourself, go on a cruise with your spouse, hey, could be fun.
Yeah, it's companionship.
Yeah, it's anything else.
I get it. Companionship is lovely. I really honestly don't mind it, but it does get old after a while when I'm the third wheel, the fifth wheel, the seventh wheel, the ninth wheel.
Well, get one wheel and call it good. You guys can be a bicycle.
I really love all of my coupled friends, though.
Well, they bring you along for stuff, right?
They do. They're very inclusive.
Why? Are they trying to hook you up or they just feel bad for you?
Neither. I think they truly enjoy my companionship.
Well, I didn't say that.
As a friend.
But I'm saying they,
I'm really funny. I'm fun, actually.
Are they trying to hook you up or they just
want...
With
who?
Or they, with anybody. Or
no, they're not. And I actually kind of wish they would, you know, network a little bit more for me in that respect.
Yeah, but you start doing something like that and it, all of a sudden you're now taking sides when things go bad.
True story.
Yeah,
so that's probably why they remain neutral.
So they're like, yeah, but if you're fun to be around, then yeah, come hang out with us. We'll do some fun things. If you don't mind being the third wheel, but that's what you want. You're getting the company, but then you get to sleep alone at night.
Or I can leave when I want to leave.
Exactly.
I don't have to compromise with anyone.
Bingo.
Okay, so what is better, single or married? It's, well, you wouldn't know because you haven't been single that long.
Yes, I have. I was single for 10 years.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you really got to experience being with yourself?
Yes.
Lots of one-on-one time?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm actually seeing you in a more positive light.
What? No, I spent 10 years single after my divorce. Had my house, had my kid, had, you know, did all the things I was supposed to do. Struggled along the way. Wish I had more help. I wish I had somebody there to help me with all of the things that life you struggle with. Mm-hmm. So yeah, paying the bills and the mortgage and the car and all that stuff. Doing it alone, difficult and hard, especially with the wages that St. George pays.
Yeah.
Finding time to do stuff. And then the whole, okay, now I'm trying to find people to spend time with. And it's not a, hey, we know each other, let's hang out and have a good time. It's like, hello, stranger, let's get to know each other and slowly feel out boundaries as to what joke is appropriate, what I can talk about, what I can't.
But can't you just be yourself?
It's exhausting.
Why don't you just be yourself anyways?
Because you're trying to impress somebody to hopefully bring them home so that you won't have to sleep alone that night.
I think the solution is to learn to sleep alone at night by yourself, and then you can just be you, and then you meet the person who's like, wow, I just like him.
That's usually what it is. You have to love yourself before you can love anybody else.
Yeah, so true.
And a lot of people can't do that, so that's why they're codependent. That's why they're looking for other things, because they can't live lives by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And some people can, some people can't. I don't want to say that's a negative attribute. It's just...
Right, there's no right or wrong. But I just really wanted to push people's thoughts and boundaries on a marriage. What is the purpose of it? I understand when you're LDS and you're practicing Mormonism or another religion that tells you you can't have sex before marriage, because I see people getting married for that reason. I feel like that's sometimes a drive for them to get married sooner than they normally would, or even to a person in general. And so, I mean, I understand their perspective on that. But if you don't care about that and you really care about self-preservation and enjoyment and peace in life, what is the point of getting married?
I don't know.
Money.
Well, I've said that like 12 times.
And I feel like guys need... to get married and need women more than women need men.
Is it, you know, I think the society we in, we need to have multiple incomes to survive. So yeah, we need a partner. But does it have to be somebody you love, or can it just be a roommate who assists financially? Why does it have to be a lifelong commitment?
Correct. Do you have to get married?
Why does it have to be one person? Why can't it be multiple people?
Exactly.
We're sharing this situation together. You know, the whole polyamory thing seems to be taken off with people.
Yeah, that could be a whole nother subject on that, because you know, I know lots of friends who are in that. And then I hear all sorts of interesting stories.
The whole open marriage thing where it's like, well, we're married, but I still go out and have fun with my friends and girlfriends and other people. You know, there's that option that people take as well. So, but then again, why do you stay married?
Exactly.
Well, that's just the structure that we have. We have to deal with it here unless we absolutely change that structure of our personal living. That's just what it is. A man, wife, kids, you know, and the outliers on that are growing. But for the most part, that's what it is. And that's just the way our society is structured. That's the way that insurance works.
So why does it have to be that way? We keep on saying that's the way it is.
It's the way,
but can't it change?
It can, but it is changing.
Okay.
You know, okay, let's go through, you know, gay marriage. That's changed things over the last few years. That's opened up doors that have not been opened before. The way that people are approaching open and polyamorous relationships, those aren't exactly legal, but who's to say that that doesn't become part of our legal system later? polyamorous and multiple relationships.
Does the government even have any say in it? Why are they allowing them to have any say in that? That is another part about marriage.
Oh, the
government
piece of
comes
paper.
Into play, and because why do they need to be involved?
What happens with your stuff when you die? Who's going to be in charge of that?
Well, you can get a trust.
Well, that's where the government comes in and says
no,
we have to establish laws and rules.
That.
We don't want them to, but they do. They said these are the rules that we're going to set up so that our society can stay functional. Oh, and we're almost out of time.
I know. We can't avoid that, though. With a trust. Anyways, I have a great trust attorney. Just teasing. Anyhow, thank you, Sean. This has been fabulous.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you guys were all very enlightened and not too many inappropriate things were said.
Not yet. 5 seconds, I'm letting just everything just go.
Stay tuned. Thank you for listening to the I Drink the Kool-Aid podcast. Join us next time. If you'd like to participate in this discussion, get a hold of us at idrinkthekoolaidpodcast@gmail.com. Now let me ask you, what flavor of Kool-Aid are you drinking?